Second Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. We've been looking at the subject of self-control, and I've attempted at least to look at some of the passages in the New Testament that use this term self-control. Some of you have probably wondered why I haven't really defined the term. Well, I want to do that today, so if I don't, you raise your hand and remind me that I need to do that. At any rate, this week we are going on to look at this subject of self-control. As I was contemplating this and working on it, I thought I might read to you a piece of an email correspondence that I received this week from an individual who read one of the devotions that we've submitted to the Gospel Communications Network on, this would be on the World Wide Web. It's kind of interesting because I'm getting quite a lot of correspondence because of that. This individual says, "My biggest struggle is discipline." Fancy that. "My biggest struggle is discipline. I seem to have no power over what I need to do with myself." Sounds like a lack of self-control. Wouldn't you say that that might be the case? I.e., read the Bible, pray more, exercise, wake up early, anything involving self-discipline, this person says. "I have asked God to help me for years. No change. I only continue to get frustrated with myself and go from trying in my own strength to hitting rock bottom in frustration and trusting God for a while. Then I guess I get sick of myself and try in my own strength again, only to fail over and over." And then this question is asked, "Where is God when I need Him?" And I know some people are asking that question. It is a question of self-discipline and of self-control. And here's a person that is quite frustrated in this regard. Well, we have been trying in our view of this subject of self-control to see that, one, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that we do not have power in and of ourselves, but it is a gift of the Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. On the other hand, I have also been trying to say, and we ended up with 1 Corinthians chapter 9 last week, that as God gives us grace, we must exercise self-discipline ourselves. You see. So it's a twofold matter. That's why I say in the statement which is before you, we must receive the grace of self-control from the Spirit and exercise self-control to make our calling and election sure. And of course, 2 Peter chapter 1 indicates that this is indeed the case. So, let's get into this subject again. And I tell you, remind me by raising your hand if I don't get this definition out the way I should. Number one in the outline is this. Lack of self-control implies ungodliness. Please turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. This is another place where the term self-control is used. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul says to Timothy, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Gesundheit. Self-control is in the list here. And I say in this point, lack of self-control implies ungodliness. And I lay some stress on this word, implies, you see. And it's important for us to understand that term. That I'm not saying that a lack of self-control proves ungodliness, but I'm saying that it implies ungodliness. And the reason I'm saying that is that last week when we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and Paul's looking at Christians, he said that in a particular area, that is in the area of sexual things, when an individual lacks self-control, they ought to, in an appropriate way, deal with that lack of self-control. And the appropriate way to deal with that lack of self-control in the area of sexual matters is within the bonds of marriage. See? It is possible for Christians to lack self-control, but what Paul is telling us in 2 Timothy is the fact that over a period of time when a person lacks self-control, this is an indication of ungodliness. I don't think we can get away from that. Now, what is this self-control which is lacking? The word is pretty interesting, it seems to me. The word literally means power within the self, strength within the self, in power. It's kind of interesting because the very same word is the root word for our term democratic. Okay? The word democratic means people power, power to the people. Okay? Some folks understand our country as a democracy. It really isn't a pure democracy. We live in a republic. We have representative government. Okay? The old Greek city-states were democracies, people power. The word self-control means inner power, in power, power within. Okay? The power resides within. And where does that power come from, folks? It can only come from God. It can only come from God. This is what we have to realize. And unbelievers, ungodly people do not have that inner power. They do not have the power of the Holy Spirit. They do not exercise self-control the way they should. An amazing incident occurred last week. And what occurred was the culmination of a series of events. A lady actually was corresponding with someone she didn't know on the internet by email, and she arranged to be murdered. Now, this is absolutely inconceivable to us. Why would an individual do something like this? And why would an individual even enter into something like this? Well, you have to be in a state where godliness is not even in your thinking. You see, and we have this list of things. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossip, without self-control, without that inner strength that comes from God. Right? So, we need to understand that we ought to have that inner strength to be able to control ourselves. And it can only come from God. And so, this is why I say in the second point that self-control is a Christian virtue. Self-control is a Christian virtue. Please look with me at 1 Corinthians 9. We ended last week with this particular text. 1 Corinthians 9. And verses 24 and 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. They look at verse 25 again. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now, Paul is comparing the Christian life to athletics. He's using the athletic metaphor. And anyone who's been involved in athletics knows that discipline is involved. And you learn a degree of self-discipline by being put through the discipline of the training involved in athletics. And anyone who is involved in running or in games, athletic games, knows that this discipline is absolutely essential and that self-control is absolutely essential. It's kind of amusing to me in some ways because when you college students come over to the house and we have this big pile in on our back porch of soft drinks, a lot of the athletes do what? Avoid the soft drinks during the season, right? And go for the water because they're not supposed to be drinking these carbonated beverages. You know, that's part of the discipline involved. And it's a good thing. It really is. We're disciplined in all things. And so what we're saying is that a lack of self-control implies ungodliness. And secondly, that self-control is a Christian virtue. Now, what do we do about people who lack self-control and are put on medication? What do we do about that? What do we just think about that? You know, and I've been asked that question more than once. And we've talked about that question in different contexts. But here's part of my take on that. Part of my take is that that medication may be used to get a person to the place of being able to understand properly his or her responsibility. You know, it's a very interesting thing that chemicals abound in our bodies. How many of you remember? Well, I know a lot of you remember the O'Neill's girl and the struggles that the O'Neill's went through with that youngster, and how many of you were on a list to work with her, to pattern her, to go through certain routines so that she would learn over a period of time to do things. It was very interesting to me because when I had the privilege of being in the O'Neill home in Pittsburgh just about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, that young lady helped serve dinner in the household. That's great. That's great. And I see some of you smiling in acknowledgement. You know, would you have believed that that would be the case several years ago? Almost an impossibility, you see. And what happens is that when individuals go over a particular pattern over a period of time, the physiology in the nervous system actually changes. Did you know that that was the case? That there are studies that now show that the physiology in the brain, for example, actually changes. That when a pianist goes over and over and over and over and over again a particular run or a particular song, that the brain actually changes. And there are different chemicals that are produced in the brain. It's a very astounding thing that takes place. And so I say that the medication might get us to the place where we can go through the routines, practice, and learn some discipline and become self-disciplined. And that ought to be the case. But that medication ought not to be a lifelong dependency. We ought not to be dependent upon drugs from the outside, but we ought to learn to be dependent upon God. And we ought to learn this self-discipline, this self-control. And so self-control is a Christian virtue. You see, we have to recognize that that is the case. And so, point three is, by God's grace, we must discipline our own bodies lest we discover we are actually reprobate. You see how this comes together now? Look at 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27. See, Paul says that self-control is absolutely essential. And in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim, I box in such a way as not beating the air, I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." He says, I take hold of my body and I discipline this body of mine. See, this is exactly what we've just been talking about. The patterning, the discipline, the practice, right? Okay. And things happen in our bodies. The chemistry of our bodies is actually affected by this. We need to understand that this is the case. Paul says, I buffet my body. The word buffet in the New American Standard Version really is that I beat my body. And more specifically, as I hit myself just under the eyes, I beat myself. It's a kind of a strange concept. Because I buffet myself. So he takes hold of himself to do this. In other words, this is not something that he's taking lightly. And why is he not taking it lightly? Look at verse 27 again. I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. The King James Version says reprobate, unless I should find that I am reprobate, that is, I am not a recipient of the grace of God. Okay. This is an astounding thing. So the points go like this. Lack of self-control implies ungodliness. Self-control is a Christian virtue. By God's grace, we must discipline our bodies lest we discover we are actually reprobate, lest we discover we are actually outside the faith down the road. And this means that we need to help one another in this area. This means we need to help one another with our children in this area. And most importantly, as parents, we need to be in the mode of disciplining our children, and we need to discipline them so that they learn self-discipline, self-control. This is absolutely essential. And when we do not take this posture, and that's one of the problems in our culture and in our society today, when we do not take this posture, we wind up in a situation where violence in the schools, for example, is escalating because of a lack of self-control. So by God's grace, I say in the fourth point, by God's grace, we must be diligent in adding self-control to the visible virtues in our lives. Are you a believer? Do you confess Christ as Lord? Do you profess Him as the King over your life? Then adding self-control to the visible virtues in your life is absolutely essential. 2 Peter, and this is the text that we read, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And I'm not going to start with verse 1, but jump down to... I've got to get to 2 Peter, though, before I do it. Jump down to verse 5 in 2 Peter 1. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence... You hear that word? Applying all diligence. In other words, you have to work at this. In the athletic endeavors, individuals work at it. In the Christian life, we have to apply all diligence. In applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. You see, here's a list of Christian virtues. And we need to be working on these Christian virtues. We need to diligently work on these Christian virtues. You see, on one side, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes as the Spirit comes to us and gives us that inner strength, inner power. Paul says in Philippians, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." How can you do these things? Because God is at work in you. How can you increase in self-control? You can as you work on it because God is at work in you. See, this is a tremendous thing. Now, for this reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. You know, we could stop right there and talk for hours about the necessity of this. Moral excellence is absolutely essential in our daily lives, in our families, at school. It is absolutely essential in government, and we are suffering from a lack of moral excellence in government today. For this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. You need to know the living God, and you need to know the voice of God in Scripture, and you need to know the Scriptures. In your knowledge, self-control. If you know anything about God, you know that God has plans and purposes. And the only way those plans and purposes can be accomplished is when He zeroes in on those plans and purposes in a very particular way to accomplish them and applies His power in a very particular way to accomplish them. Isn't that what we need to do when we exercise self-control? It seems to me that that is the case. Perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. These are all Christian virtues, and it's absolutely essential that we add self-control to this list of Christian virtues. Verse 8, why is this so important? For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if there is going to be fruitfulness in the Christian life, self-control has to be present. That's all there is to it. If you're not going to prove yourself to be unfruitful in the Christian life, self-control has to be present. It is an absolute must. And it's an absolute must for our children. And therefore, it's an absolute must that we train our children in this vein. So, by God's grace, diligence in the area of self-control will confirm God's calling and election. Verses 9 through 11 in 2 Peter 1. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. You see, there's that word diligence again. Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. What's one of the ways that the entrance into the eternal kingdom will be supplied to you? It is by exercising none other than self-control. By practicing self-control. You know, it was kind of interesting to me that this person who sent me this email note and asked the question, where is God when I need Him, says, that is how I have felt for the last 6 months, at least. And I guess it has just built up, combined with other things, to the point where I am now angry at God, doubting, faithless, sad, because I feel like I have lost everything that I was living for. What's the problem? It's this lack of self-control, which on one side comes as a fruit of the Spirit, and on the other side comes as we work in this area of disciplining ourselves. What does Paul say? Discipline yourselves to godliness. And the word discipline there is the word from which we get our English word gymnastics. And when the gymnast is excellent, there are hundreds of hours of practice which have gone behind that performance. Discipline yourselves to godliness in all diligence. And why is this so important? Verses 10 and 11 in 2 Peter 1. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. It's in the practice of these Christian virtues that assurance and the questions about assurance are answered. You see, that's one of the tremendous things about this. And one of the things that you need to realize and I need to realize. Quickly then, look at the outline. Lack of self-control implies ungodliness. Self-control is a Christian virtue, on the other hand. By God's grace, we must discipline our bodies, lest we discover we are actually outside the faith, reprobate. Can we do this? Christians can. By God's grace, we must be diligent in adding self-control to the visible virtues of our lives. And by God's grace, diligence in the area of self-control will confirm, friends, God's calling us and God's choosing us. I say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this. I pray that we may see the importance of self-control. And I pray, Father, that it will be worked within each one of us and within our children, and that we will be diligent in this area. Bless us to that end, we ask. And as we come now to participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and feast upon our Lord Jesus, O God, grant that we might receive that needed inner strength from Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.